Welcome back to another edition of Full Count. Nick Earnshaw here, your host, ready to recap the weekend that was for the Philadelphia Phillies. What a weekend. 2 of 3 they take from the Kansas City Royals after coming back from taking 3 of 4 in Miami. They had that bad Pirates series where they lost 2 of 3. They win the series against the Marlins. They also now win the series against the Kansas City Royals. Love to see it. It was a crazy weekend. A lot of news, a lot of things to talk about. Certain players getting standing ovations. I'll talk about my stance on that as well. But we have a ton to get into, and you know, why might as well start with the standing ovation that Trey Turner received. Started on Friday night in a loss to the Kansas City Royals. They lost that game 7-5. In that ball game, though, Trey Turner did get a base hit, did get an RBI, cut the game within one. So he did okay in that game, in the game that everyone talked about. Jack Fritz started it here at the station, and it kind of grew and grew, and you know, the fans gave him a standing O in that game. Now I have some thoughts on it. I put some thoughts out on social media. Yeah, I listen. I will admit when I'm partially wrong. I think I was partially wrong here. It helped him. It helped him. It clearly did. I hope that going forward for Trey Turner, that this is going to be something where he can now be consistent at the plate, and it gave him a little bit of a boost. Great. I'm so glad it happened, right? Awesome. I still think it's a little over the top to go with a standing ovation every single at bat in 2 straight games. I mean, that's a little much to me, and that's kind of where I'm at with it. But hey, listen, if it worked for him, he coddled him, great, whatever, it worked. The guy's getting paid a lot of money. He's getting paid a lot of money from this baseball club, and he hasn't been performing. Maybe that's all he needed. I didn't think it would really work or do anything. I thought it might even put more pressure on him. I thought it was coddling him a little bit. But hey, I mean the guy had a great weekend, right? You can't deny it. Had a great weekend. August 5th against Kansas City on Saturday, had 4 RBIs, the big home run in that game, a double as well, and then back on Sunday also had another base hit in that ball game, another double. Yeah, maybe. And he looked better in the field, too. So maybe it did work. I still think it was a little much, a little over the top. I mean, you know, what are we going to give Aaron Nola a standing ovation every time he goes out? I mean, we heard boos in his start this weekend. So when he came out of the game, I'm just saying, we got to be consistent with it. I think it's great. It worked for him fine in the short term. But I mean, there's a lot of baseball left. Hopefully it carries into the month. Total all the entire month of August and into September and hopefully into October. But you know, I still think I'm still on the stance where, yeah, I think it was a little over the top. Now I don't think you should go out and boo the guy. I don't want to boo the guy, but I think you know, giving 8 standing ovations, I think that's what it was in over 2 games. It's a little much. I think the one, all right, if I can get behind that, fine. I wasn't a fan of it at first, but hey, you know, you live, you learn, and you see how things grow. And I thought over the weekend, seeing Turner, you know, it actually helped him, and him talk about it in his press conference. Cool. It was a cool moment for him to get that homer. I don't know if we need to give 8 standing ovations again to a player, but giving a guy who's struggling, I mean, we got to do it for every single player now to get him going. I think it was a little much, but hey, it worked. The guy's gotten rolling. Whatever, we'll take it, because they're going to need Trey Turner to get rolling here at some point. All right, but looking across the weekend, you know, with the Turner stuff, yes, he was the headline throughout the entirety of the weekend, but other guys are stepping up. Yeah, Turner got all the headlines, but my goodness, Bryce Harper had a monster series against Kansas City. A monster series. And, you know, in the first game, the opener on Friday, didn't do anything much. Didn't even get a hit in that ball game. But on Saturday and on Sunday, I mean, the guy's just hitting the crap out of the baseball right now. Unbelievable. Right now in the month of June. Restart the summer. Yeah. No, it feels like June. It feels like a Phillies June. August, in the month of August, he's about 417 with a 444 OBP, 708 slugging percentage. That's pretty good. That's pretty good, to say the least. On Saturday, in the win against Kansas City, He goes 3 for 4 in this game, had a double, had a dinger, 2 RBIs. And then on Sunday, he almost had another home run in that ball game. Kind of got robbed a little bit, but still went 2 for 3, had a double and an RBI. Listen, Harper's getting hot. Bryce is getting hot. Is the power starting to come back? I don't know. I feel like it is. Harper looked great, man. You get him going, you get Turner going, you get all these guys going. This is going to be a special run. It's going to be a special run for this ball club. And I really like the at-bats Harper was taking. I mean, he's been great all year. The power just hasn't been there. And it felt like the power was starting to creep back into him a little bit. And Sunday, yeah, he just missed a couple of home runs. Like, he had one over this weekend, but he's really starting to put it together with the power. And if that's the case, oh my goodness, look out, because Bryce Harper's getting hot, the Phillies are going to get hot. Another guy, Kyle Schwarber, didn't have a great series. Hasn't had a great month of August. But on Sunday, in that game, he had three base hits, 3 for 4 in that game, had a home run, 2 RBIs. Schwarber looked great, put together some good at-bats. And, you know, in total in this series, you know, he only walked one time, which is kind of crazy because, you know, he's been walking a lot as of late in that Miami series. He walked, I believe, 6 times in that 4-game set. For him, like, if he's going to walk that much, I mean, yeah, might as well keep him at the top of the lineup, right? I mean, they're winning games. On Sunday, he looked fantastic. Some really good at bats, 3 for 4, hadn't had the dinger. So, yeah, Kyle Schwarber, another guy that's getting really hot for this club. And, man, it seems like these guys feed off each other. And maybe the standing O did something for their whole team. I don't know. given that many standing ovations, it's kind of crazy to me. I think a standing ovation is meant for someone who's done, you know, incredible work and done an incredible job on the field, been with the team for a long time, etc. But, hey, whatever. Maybe that helped morale. I don't know. Because they all seem to have started to really pick it up in this Kansas City series. I know it's Kansas City. They're not a very good team, but I believe they won 7 straight or so coming into this series. So, I mean, hey, listen, the Phillies took 2 of 3. That's all that matters. You continue to win series. You took 3 of 4. And I said on last week's show, you need to take 3 of 4 from the Miami Marlins. That has to happen. It happened. They probably should have swept them, to be honest. They had that one choker of a game where Turner, he whiffed on a ground ball to end the game. Whatever, fine. But they come back in this. They still won the series, 3 out of 4. This series, they take 2 of 3 against Kansas City. And it was really fun to watch. I was at the game on Saturday during the Turner home run. It was cool. It was great. I mean, it was a back-and-forth game. They gave up the lead, and then the Phillies came back, blah, blah, blah. And they're able to come away with the victory on Saturday and then on Sunday as well. And, Greinke, he's kind of washed at this point. I think he's 40 years old, back in Kansas City. I was looking at his stats earlier, which is crazy. And Zach Greinke's never won a World Series. I could have sworn, like, he was on one of the Astros teams. He was on the Kansas City team in 2015. I'm just a little crazy. But, no, he missed Astros last year by 1 year going back to Kansas City. So it stinks for him because he's had a pretty good career. He's had a long career. He's been around for a while. Started his career with the Royals, and now seems like he's probably going to end it there. But, yeah, he's not the same Zach Greinke as he once was, a Cy Young-type candidate. But I think if you're the Phillies, getting back on track, one guy in particular that I have to bring up is Bryson Stott. Bryson Stott, magnificent weekend. Oh, 4 hits in this series, big hits. He's come up with big hits in this series. 3 RBIs on Sunday, an RBI on Saturday, 4 total hits in the series. What a job by him. 2 doubles. The guy is just a fantastic ball player. And I know I don't want to do it. I don't want to put pressure on this guy, but he reminds me of Chase Utley so much, just the way he approaches the game. I mean, am I wrong? Am I wrong? The guy reminds me of Utley. He plays second base. He's a left-handed hitter. He doesn't have as much power, I feel like, as Utley had. But the guy, just the way he plays the game, the way he conducts his business and goes about and carries himself, oh, he reminds me of Utley, and he plays the game well. He gives you great at-bats. He works the count. He never, whiffs on an at-bat. It's unbelievable what I see from Bryson Stott. He has been magnificent for this team. Had a great, great month of July. Batted .337 in that month. Fantastic. .302 in the month of June. Right now in the month of August, we're only 7 games in, but, he's batting .292. He's batting .292 in this series. Excuse me, 6 games into this series. I want to get ahead of myself because that's how great Bryson Stott's been. He comes up with a big hit. You have runners on. It's like, okay, I think Bryson Stott's going to probably drive these guys in. And he's just been so consistent all season long. And to have that consistency is huge for this team. And, for him to only be in his second year in the bigs, you got to give him credit. I mean, he has really, really stepped up. And in that game on Sunday, they go down 3-0. So Walker, Taiwan Walker, he's talked about, him getting off to slow starts, hasn't felt comfortable on the mound, felt like he hasn't gotten loose, gotten warm to start games for whatever reason, whatever, fine. But it's down. He gives up the 3 runs in the first inning, top of the first. Bryson Stott comes back, two runners on, and he hits a home run, ties the game, gives them right back in it. And the Phillies, they give the lead one more time, but then they got the lead again, and it was gone at that point. It was over. It was over with the Phillies go on to win that one. But like a 3-run shot right there, big morale boost for the team. You go down 3-0, and they're like, oh man, here we go again. And Bryson Stott here saved the day with a 3-run shot. He has just been so incredible. And the glove, can't forget about the glove. He made a fantastic diving catch on Sunday as well. Like, the guy has just really developed into a fantastic second baseman, a fantastic Philadelphia Philly. I loved when they drafted him. I loved when he came up through the system. And, I know he got off to a slow start last year. And, people are like, oh, man, another Cody Ashy here? No, you're not getting another Cody Ashy. The guy just needed a little bit to get warmed up into the bigs. And, man, he has really, really been on fire this season. He's been their most consistent hitter by far. Defensively, the guy could win a gold glove. I mean, his glove's gotten even better. I thought he was good shortstop last year. He's been a great second baseman this season. I got to talk about Bryson Stott. The guy's just plays the game like a total winner, and is calm, cool, and collected. I love what I see from Bryson Stott. Absolutely love what I see from Mr. Stott. But also there was some gloomy news from this weekend as well. Brandon Marsh, unfortunate play in Saturday's game, trying to go catch a pop fly in the center field, ran into the center field wall. Now, there's padding out there, but there's like a pole as well. So I think his knee hit the pole. It's what it looked like. He had an MRI, came back okay. No damage, no structural damage or anything like that. But he does have a knee contusion. He's going to be placed on the 10-day injured list. So probably going to miss a couple of weeks, 2-3 weeks. It seems like that's what Rob Thompson expects Marsh to miss, and they're going to miss him, man. I mean, his OPS is a .968 in the last 19 games, according to FanNation.com inside the Phillies. That's pretty good. And now they're going to bring up another guy to kind of replace him, Weston Wilson. Never been in the majors before. 28 years old. He's been with Lehigh Valley this season. He's batting .260, 25 homers. The guy could play the outfield. He can also play in the infield. He's a little bit more of like a utility guy. But Weston Wilson, he could play those corner outfield spots. He's played it at the AAA level. And good for him. I think he arrived during the game. Like, it was such a late call-up from the Phillies. He arrived late during the game, and they showed on the telecast that he had arrived, and he was high-fiving all the guys and stuff. So Weston Wilson up with the Phillies now, his first time in the major leagues. If he gets an opportunity, great. And hopefully he can contribute. But Johan Rojas is going to be the guy that's going to be put right into the fire, right? I mean, he's coming up from Double A. He's done a pretty good job for this Phillies team. It's his gig now. Center field is his for the time being, at least the next couple of weeks until Brandon Marsh gets back. And we've seen Marsh move to the left. We've seen Rojas out in the center. So Rojas has gotten a decent amount of playing time, but he's going to get more at-bats now. And hopefully the kid can really come through here. All right, we're going to take a quick step off here on Phillies Full Count. I'm your host, Nick Earnshaw. When we get back, I want to talk about what's coming up for the Philadelphia Phillies. What's next? Who are they playing this week? We're going to preview that. They give you the pitching matchups. All that coming up right here on Full Count. Welcome back to Full Count. Nick Earnshaw here, your host. And we have more to get to here on the Fightins. And we have to talk about what's upcoming this coming week for the Phillies as they will take on the Nationals Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. A four-game set for the Philadelphia Phillies against their division opponent, the Nationals. And, you know, if you feel like you haven't played a lot of, you know, the NL East teams and the Mets, the Braves, the Nationals, the Marlins all year, it's because the MLB has gone to a schedule where you pretty much have to play everybody. And that means they took away some games from the division. So if it feels like that, you haven't played the Nationals in a while. That's why. Like, I mean, they just played the Marlins, great, but like this is why they haven't played them as much, because you're getting these games against the Kansas City Royals. And then this upcoming weekend, it's gonna be games against the Minnesota Twins. That'll be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So that's why that is. But, you know, looking ahead to this week and what the Phillies have in store, they should sweep the Nationals. If we're being real, if we're being honest with ourselves, they should sweep the Nationals. And the Nationals, they're a team that just, they're in the bottom of the barrel. They're in dead last in the standings, 49-63, 22.5 games out of Atlanta for the NL East crown. They have no shot whatsoever. And then they are at the bottom of the barrel, 9 games out of the third wild card spot. So it's a team that's rebuilding. Clearly, since their 2020 World Series win, it's a team that's gone downhill. They've made some trades. They have a better farm system as of now. But right now, the Phillies probably sweep them. They really should. I mean, with who they have going this week, the 6-man rotation, in the first game, you got Ranger Suarez. Ranger, he looked great in his last start. He really did. In that game against Miami, 6 1/3, one earned run, did give up the 10 hits, gave up a lot of hits, but he looked good. I mean, he looked good. 2 walks, 3 strikeouts. Got him through 6 1/3. And, you know, if you don't get that from Ranger, you could be in a little bit of trouble. So I like what Ranger's going. He struggled in the month of July. There wasn't a ton of great starts in there. I mean, there was a time where the entire month, he gave up 3 or more earned runs in every single start. Only 1 earned run in his first start on August 1st in this month. So, you know, you want to get Ranger back. You can get him the form. You get him that extra day, too, with the acquisition of Michael Lorenzen. Great. I think it helps the Phillies a ton. The Phillies will go up against Trevor Williams. Trevor Williams in his last start against the New York Mets, which came on July 30th. 4 innings pitched, 7 hits, 5 earned runs, a home run, 4 walks, 2 strikeouts. Not great on his last start on the year. He's 5-6 with a 4.72 ERA in 22 starts. Has a 1.49 whip as well. Former pick of the Miami Marlins, too. So he'll be getting the ball for the Washington Nationals in the first game of the series against Ranger Suarez. Philly should have no problem here. Should have no problem against the Nationals, but hey, they have problems against the Pittsburgh Pirates. So that's how that went. You know, the Nationals, honestly, they're playing really good baseball as of late. They've won their last 4 games in a row. I mean, going back to the Brewers series, they swept the Reds, and the Reds are in a little bit of a downturn right now. So they're coming in playing pretty good baseball. But the Phillies should beat the Nationals. I mean, come on. You beat the Marlins. You took 3 of 4. You took 2 of 3 from Kansas City. You should sweep Washington, in my estimation. But if you take 3 of 4, that's a win, too. You got to just continue to win series. A split would you know, it'd be hurtful. It'd honestly be hurtful. So I having a split coming up with the Nats, a division opponent, you know, you're still in a tight wild card race right now. You want to take as many games as you possibly can. And if you just continue to win series, you'll be okay. I mean, they're up three games right now. They're okay. They're safely pretty much in a wild card spot. But, you know, continue to beat up on the bad teams. And that's what they need to do here against the Washington Nationals coming up. In game two of this series, it's looking like Josiah Gray versus Zach Wheeler in this next game on Tuesday, excuse me. In his last start, Josiah Gray got the loss, 3 2/3, 5 earned runs, 3 walks, 3 strikeouts, gave up 4 hits. Hasn't been great. Wasn't great in his last start against the Milwaukee Brewers. They lost that game back on August 1st. Listen, another guy that I think the Phillies should get after. Last time the Phillies faced him was on June 30th. He went 6 innings, gave up 6 hits, 1 earned run, 1 walk, had 8 strikeouts, and the Nationals won that game. So Phillies got to bounce back against Josiah Gray, man. You can't have a game here with Zach Wheeler on the bump, against the Nationals team, who's an inferior opponent. With Gray, I mean, on the year, he's had a decent year. 7-9, 3.54 ERA, 1.43 whip, and 22 starts. Okay, fine. But, you know, last time the Phillies faced him, they didn't have a lot of success against him. So hopefully that changes. They already seen him once this year. Let's see what they can get rolling going into this series. And then you got Zach Wheeler on the mound, who on the year, 8-5, 3.71 ERA, and 22 starts, 1.11 whip on the season. His last start against Miami, 6 innings, 2 earned, gave up the 2 home runs, 4 strikeouts, 1 walk. He pitched well. I mean, he pitched fine, and that was the game that the Phillies kind of blew and gave away. So, gotta get a bounce back win for our guy Wheeler here. Hasn't had a win since July 28th when they beat Pittsburgh, 6 2/3 in that one. Had the 11 strikeouts in that ball game. So, listen, Zach Wheeler on the bump. Josiah Gray had 8 strikeouts against the Phillies in his last start. You got to get a win for Wheeler, man. I mean, that's just going to happen. And, you know, I think the bats will. The bats seem like they're on fire right now with, you know, Trey Turner hopefully back to his normal self, his World Baseball Classic self, hopefully. Hopefully that's the case, right? I mean, that's what we're hoping for. Bryson Stott, you know, still killing it. Bryce Harper really coming around. Hopefully the power's there. Schwarber had a really good day on Sunday in that final game against Kansas City. Hopefully these guys are starting to come around, right? And I think the bats will be there. But game two of this series could be a trap game, just the way Josiah pitched against them last time. And it was in Philadelphia as well. So, you know, you got to be ready. I believe it was in Philadelphia, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, it was in Philadelphia. So, listen, he doesn't seem to faze him that he's pitching in Philly, but we'll see about game two in this series. And we look ahead to game three. It will be Mackenzie Gore against Michael Lorenzen, the newest Philadelphia Philly. I'll get to Lorenzen in a second, but looking at Mackenzie Gore, this is a guy who was drafted by the San Diego Padres, a first-round pick, was traded to the Nationals in the Juan Soto deal. That's where he came from. That's how he became a Washington National. He's had up and down year. 4.34 ERA, 6-8 on the season, 22 games started, 1.42 whip. And the last time the Phillies faced him was back on June 3rd. He went 6 innings, gave up 9 hits, 3 earned runs, had 6 strikeouts, and the Phillies did end up winning that ball game. He's still a young pitcher, still a very young pitcher, born in 99, 24 years of age, very young still. But his last start, it wasn't too bad. Didn't get a win or a loss, got the no decision in that one. 6 innings pitched, 3 hits, 2 earned runs, gave up a dinger, 2 walks, had 5 strikeouts. But he's looked a little bit better as of late, can't lie. Looked a little bit better. His last couple of starts, last 3 starts, he's gone 5 or more innings. Decent. Even on that July 28th game, they got the loss. But 5 innings, 5 hits, 3 earned runs, 1 home run, 4 walks. That's really what killed him in that game. and 2 strikeouts against the Mets. But, you know, kind of got it back a little bit on August 2nd against Milwaukee, a pretty decent start from him. But on the other side, more importantly, Michael Lorenzen in his second start as a Philly. That will come in the third game of the series on Wednesday. And what a great performance in his first start. Am I right? I mean, the first start of his Phillies career, comes over in the trade from Detroit, goes 8 innings, you have 6 hits, 2 earned runs, 1 home run, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts. Look great. I can't lie. I mean, Lorenzen looked great, man. I mean, if you can get those type of innings out of him, you're going to be in such a good spot. Such a good spot. If you're the Phillies, you're giving other guys an extra day off. Lorenzen's going to eat up innings. And if he can save your bullpen, that's an even bigger plus. It's an even bigger plus here for the Phillies if he can get, you know, that extra, extra couple of innings that we haven't seen as much from Phillies pitching. We don't see as much often in today's game of baseball. So Michael Lorenzen, his second start, first start, you know, came against Miami. So 2 straight division foes he gets to face in his career with the Phils. But yeah, I mean, he looked great in that last start. Fastball's working well. Breaking balls were working well. And, you know, he was getting them over for strikes. And, you know, he seemed real comfortable with JT behind the dish. And, yeah, he does look like Matt Strom a little bit. He does. He looks like Matt Strom a little bit. They could be twins. They could be doppelgangers, whatever. But, yeah, I'm excited to see him pitch. Another victory the Phillies should have, right? I mean, you know, Mackenzie Gore, still a young pitcher. They were able to get to him the first time they faced him this season. I don't see why not. Michael Lorenzen go 8 innings again. I mean, that is as the extra day off. And, you know, I like his attitude, what he brings. I mean, it's the only time he's going 8 innings this season. First start with the Phillies. That's a sign of good things to come, in my estimation. It really is. So Michael Lorenzen, the newest Philadelphia Philly, will get the start on, I believe, Thursday. No, Wednesday. I'm totally wrong. I think I said Wednesday. Yeah, so Wednesday he'll get that start. He'll get the start on Wednesday in the third game of the series. And then in the finale, Patrick Corbin versus Aaron Nola. I'll start with Corbin, and I'll get to Mr. Nola in just a second. But Corbin on the year, not great. 7-11, record 5.03 ERA in 23 games started. 89 strikeouts on the year, 1.50 whip. And in his last start against the Cincinnati Reds, went 6 1/3, gave up 4 hits, 3 earned, 3 dingers, had 2 strikeouts and a walk as well. Didn't have the best month of July at a 5.83 ERA, 2-2. So it was very up and down. Corbin's been up and down on the season. The Phillies, they have not faced him this year yet. They faced him, obviously, in the past. Haven't faced him this year. But I got to get to more important things. I got to get to Mr. Aaron Nola, who's 9-8 with a 4.58 ERA on the season. He's just, I don't even know. He's been fine. I don't think he's been awful. I mean, he wasn't great in Kansas City. Like, he's had good starts. He's really been, I guess, their worst pitcher, right? I mean, Walker's been better since the start of the season. Rangers coming around again. Wheeler's been good. Lorenzen in his one start's been good. Christopher Sanchez been good. I mean, no, I don't know where you place Nola. Like, how much trust do you have in him right now? He's given up a ton of home runs. We know that. In his start on Friday against Kansas City, 5 1/3, 5 earned, 2 homers, 8 Ks. Start before that against Pittsburgh, 4 2/3 was really bad. Maybe we need to give him a standing ovation. I suggested that on Twitter. I did. I mean, you know, Trey Turner's been struggling. The worst he's been in his career. Nola's struggling too. And I heard some boos. Like, I heard some boos when he came out of the game. In the same game, us as fans were giving Trey Turner a standing O. We're booing Aaron Nola. There were some boos. It wasn't gigantic. It wasn't huge. But there were some boos. And maybe this guy needs a standing O. I don't know. Because Nola, he hasn't been that ace-like pitcher this season. He just hasn't. He's leaving balls over the plate, missing the zone. I don't know. I hope it's still not the pitch clock, right? It can't be. Like, We're into August now. It's almost been a full season, it feels like. We're more than halfway through. We're three quarters of the way through. You got to get over it if it's pitch clock, Aaron. You got to get over it. I get it's an adjustment. I would hate it. If I were playing right now and I were a pitcher, I'd hate the pitch clock too. I hate not being able to take my time, getting the hitter's head a little bit, getting the runner's head a little bit. Yeah, I get it. I get it. But it's the cards you're dealt right now, and you have to adapt. You have to make adjustments. I hope it's not the pitch clock still. I really don't. Because that was really a lot of the blame in the beginning of the season for poor performance. Giving up two home runs against the Kansas City Royals. Come on, man. Come on. Five earned. I mean, Phillies probably should have won that game too. They probably should have swept the Kansas City Royals at this point. That's how good the Phillies are. But Nola, is it maybe a lot of innings last year? It's carried over. Because, we know he was gassed by the World Series. I mean, he was gassed. So, and maybe that's it. I don't know what it is. He's definitely lost some money heading into free agency, that's for sure. He's looked like a middle-of-the-road starter. I mean, that's what he's looked like. And, it stinks because I know he's got ace stuff in there. I know he's got ace stuff. He can become an ace. Like if he just turned it on, he could be an ace. He really could be. And, he's fourth in Cy Young voting last year. That's ace-level type stuff right there. It has not been the same type of year, though. It just hasn't. He hasn't been an ace this year. He hasn't. And, Tom Kelly, I know he calls him a fake ace. He's just had a down year. I think he's a great number two with ace-like stuff. I wouldn't call him a fake ace. It's just been a down year. And maybe the workload, the pitch clock, it's messed with him a little bit. I don't know. He deserves to be criticized for sure. I mean, he struggled. The comments on the pitch clock have been, a little annoying. But he's got to come out in, August, September. He's getting that extra day now with Lorenzen in the six-man rotation. No excuse now. He's better on when he has more rest. When he's on 4 days rest or like 5 days rest, 6 days rest. Like he's a better pitcher when he has more rest. The numbers show it. So we'll see what happens with Nola in the final game of this series. That'll be on Thursday night, and then after that, the Twins will come to town over the weekend on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But you gotta play the series against the Nationals first. Should sweep them. That's my prediction. I said last week that they should take three of four from the Marlins. They did. This week I'm saying you need a sweep against the Washington Nationals. And also I gotta address. I think I said the Marlins, and I want to apologize. Bad job by me. I think the coffee was wearing off a little bit. I worked the morning show then I recorded the show after. I think the coffee was worn off. I think I said the Marlins were coming to Citizens Bank Park. They were on the road. I sit there. I'm watching the game. I'm like, I think I botched that. Totally botched it. But, hey, they got three of four on the road against Miami. The Nationals are coming to Citizens Bank Park this week. So I got that right. I'm checking my notes right now. It's correct. I didn't misspeak this time. That is correct. The Nationals are coming to CBP. The Phillies will be home for their next four games with the Nats. And then they will also be home against the Twins this coming weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
And just a couple of more news and notes to get to.
When we get back, more for you right here.
Mark heading to the 10-day injured list with a left knee contusion. Weston Wilson coming up from Lehigh Valley. He will take his roster spot. As for right now, he's going to be wearing number 37. Mr. Weston Wilson is, career minor leaguer, 20 years of age, coming up to the Philadelphia Phillies, has spent the last couple of seasons in AAA, three straight years in AAA. Back in 2019 was the last time he was in AA. And he started his career in the Milwaukee Brewers organization. Now in the Phillies organization as of now. And listen, he was signed in 2023 to a minor league contract this past year. And he's produced. He's done a really nice job in AAA for the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs. It's why he got the call up. I mean, he's been a career minor leaguer. Has played really well this season. So he gets the shot. He gets the shot to come up. And, if he gets an opportunity, he gets an opportunity. Down in Lehigh Valley On the year, 94 total hits, 67 runs scored, and he has 25 home runs, 16 doubles. So, I mean, he's been producing 69 RBIs as well. Has walked 56 times, too. So, yeah, I mean, he's really earned it. Batting 260, 361 on base, 524 slugging percentage, and 885 OPS as well. So, listen, you're going to give Weston Wilson a shot. You know, good for him, man. Obviously, Johan Rojas is going to get a majority of the playing time, but you can stick Weston in left. You can stick him in right if you need to. I'd assume he probably play left field majority of the time when he does get a chance, if he does get in and start. Only a couple weeks here. Only a couple weeks you're going to see probably Weston Wilson in a Phillies uniform, and then they'll probably send him back down. But listen, he's a guy that you have to acknowledge. He's made it to the majors now. The Phillies might use him a little bit, and this is going to be reality for Phillies fans for the next couple of weeks with Marsh being out. And, you know, it stinks to lose Marsh. It stinks to lose Brandon Marsh. The guy's been unbelievable. He's 25 years old, his second season with the Phillies, first full season with the Phils. Batting 281, 367 OBP, 460 slugging percentage, 827 OPS. He's been really good for the Phillies. He's a great clubhouse guy. He knows the city well. He connects with the city. So it's a tough loss. It definitely is. You want his glove out in left field. I like it better in left field than I really do in center field, to be honest. But, you know, this is going to be a tough loss for the Phillies. It's a great thing that it wasn't worse. Thank goodness it wasn't worse. It wasn't anything serious. The MRI showed nothing of, you know, damage in his knee. It's just a contusion. And, you know, it just shows how hard the guy plays. I mean, he's going out there running into walls. He'll do anything. And, you know, he's just that scrappy type of player. And, you know, seeing Brandon Marsh go on the IL, it stinks. It's a stinger. But I also have to mention that, you know, they bring up Weston Wilson. What's this mean for Scott Kingery? You know, Kingery's had a pretty good year. Can play pretty much anywhere, it feels like. And he's still down in the minor leagues. On the season, 265 batting average, 339 on-base percentage, 791 OPS, 82 base hits, 13 homers, and 40 RBIs. I mean, Scotty Jetpacks has had a pretty good season down in Lehigh Valley. Didn't get the call-up this time, unfortunately. Unfortunately, did not get the call-up. It makes me wonder a little bit. You know, is Scott Kingery feeling some type of way? Is he? I don't know. It's just a thought. I saw the name Weston Wilson. I was like, huh. You know, I thought I read Scott Kingery was having a pretty good year down in Lehigh Valley. Thought he was. Haven't followed it, you know, to a T closely, but I'd heard he'd been playing pretty well down there for the Iron Pigs. Just looking at his numbers in his last couple of games here in the month of August, hasn't been great, but he has a base hit in 4 out of the last 5 games. I take it with what you will. Month of July, batted 233. Month of June, batted 343. So he's cooled off. He's cooled off a little bit. Month of August, batting 214 as of right now. I don't know. I don't know. Does Scotty Jetpacks get another shot in the majors with the Phils? I thought this year might have been the case. I did. I thought this year could have been the case. And I thought, hey, Brandon Marsh going down, who are they going to bring up? Because they're going to bring someone up. They really didn't make a significant move or anything at the trade deadline, other than really Lorenzen. I was like, maybe they bring up Scotty. No, they bring up Weston Wilson, which is fine. He's had a good year. He's had a really good year. He's shown a little bit of power as well. So I don't hate the move bringing Weston Wilson up. But it made me wonder, like it really did. It made me wonder a little bit, like, hey, is Scotty Jetpacks going to ever get up to the majors? Is he ever going to get back in with the Phillies? And this time was not the case. It was not the case. This go around, you know, injury to Marsh. It's fine. We'll see how Wilson does on the year. You know, I gave you his numbers.
Month of August hasn't been so great to him, but he had a good month of July, 272 batting average there, 284 in June. So he's been consistent. His last couple of games, it's been okay. Three hits in the month of August right now. All right, we'll see what we get from him. I don't think he's going to play too much because I think you're going to see mainly Johan Rojas. And Rojas has been good, man. Rojas has been good. The month of July came up. July 15th, batted 346. It was on that doubleheader day. And, you know, he had the big second game. Didn't get a base hit in the first game. But in that second game, it was really was his coming out party on that day. You know, he went 3-for-4 that day and had a couple of RBIs. And he's come through in some big spots and big moments. Had a little trouble hitting the curveball and some breaking pitches. Saw Greinke give him a couple of curveballs today. He had trouble hitting. But he's come from AA, batted 346. The month of July, 294 so far this month in the series against Miami and Kansas City. So, listen, the kid's going to get an opportunity. And I really like Johan Rojas, man. I do. I'm a big fan of Johan Rojas. I think he can be a really significant player for this team and contribute in a significant way. So we're going to see a lot of Johan Rojas in center in the next couple of weeks. And I hope he contributes. I really do. And I think he will. I think he's going to come up with some big base hits. I think he's going to have a good couple of weeks here as he gets the start in center field. He's fit right in the club nicely. He's going to be towards the bottom of the order, a little less pressure there. I like what I'm going to see out of Johan Rojas. Not going to give you a ton of power, but the glove in center field, yeah, that's what I'm really going to love. The guy covers so much ground out in center field. I think he's a better defensive center fielder than Brandon Marsh, in my estimation. It's just my opinion. I think many people would agree with me on that. But, yeah, I'm excited to see Rojas. I think, you know, we're going to see maybe some growing pains with the bat, but I mean, he's coming out in some big spots here. And he's gotten some base hits, had a hit in every game against Kansas City, had two hits on Sunday. So, yeah, I like giving the kid a shot, man. And I thought it was a little crazy at first. I was like, oh, wow, they called Rojas up from Double A, and he's gonna get some, you know, big opportunities here. And now he really has a big opportunity. He's going to be starting. So, I'm excited to give him the at-bats that he needs. Excited to see what Johan Rojas can do at such a young age at you know, being that prospect, age 22. It's going to be fun to watch Rojas out in center field. I think we're going to see some web gems. We saw the web gems when he first came up. It's going to be fun to see Rojas for sure. No doubt about it. All right. Before we get going into the next break, and, you know, we have Who's Next and our minor league segment coming up, I have to mention the story of Bryce Harper, man. A 7-year-old boy named Caleb, Saturday night's game, it was photo night. I actually missed that. We were a little late getting to the game and the ballpark. I went as a fan. It was great. Didn't get to go down and do all that. But the 7-year-old boy got separated, I guess, from his guardians. And, you know, Bryce Harper goes and sits down with him. The video kind of went viral. Harper sitting there with the young kid, and he's, you know, trying to figure out, like, hey, where is his guardians? And, you know, he eventually reunited him with their grandmother and brothers, this young guy. But I just thought it was a cool story to see Harper, man. I mean, he really gets it. He said it after the game with Scott in LA, I mean, about the fans and everything. The guy just understands the city of Philadelphia and, you know, wants to be here. He even mentioned, you know, he wanted to start his career here. He wished he started his career here. I'm just paraphrasing at this point. But, gosh, aren't we lucky as Philadelphia fans to have Bryce Harper? Aren't we freaking lucky? I mean, we should be so grateful to have this guy that he chose here. He wants to be here, and he's producing. The guy gives his all. And just to see that, like him connecting with the fans, trying to reunite a young guy, you know, young little boy, trying to find his grandmother and his brothers. Just awesome stuff, man. Just awesome stuff. And we are extremely lucky as Philadelphia fans, as Phillies fans, to have Bryce Harper here in Philadelphia in Red Pinstripes.
Welcome. All right, we're back to
take a quick step off and we come back. Who's next?
Host? Who's going to be this
and
week?
You know, we have to do our final segment.
We do it every segment.
That's coming up right here.
Show
who's next? Looking down on the farm, looking at who's next for the Philadelphia Phillies, looking at some prospects, who's had a big week, who's coming up, etc. We already talked about Weston Wilson, but I want to talk about someone else in kind of a lower level right now, single A affiliate, low A, Clearwater Threshers. one of the Phillies' top prospects, the number three prospect in the system, according to MLB.com, Justin Crawford. I got to mention him this week because the guy, former first-round pick for the Phillies in 2022 last year, guy's been on a tear, batting .333 this year, .389 OBP, OPS of .849, 54 ribbies, 87 hits, two homers, 38 stolen bases as well. He's been on a tear the last couple of games. Last couple of games in Clearwater, he has been ridiculous. August 1st, went 3-for-4 in that game, 3 RBIs, a walk as well. Next game has goes 2-for-4, a double in that game, 2 RBIs, a walk as well. Next game goes hitless, but on August 5th, my goodness, guy went 3-for-6, scored a run, also hit a home run, which was a monster grand slam, 363 feet. 5 RBIs in that game, mainly having to do with the grand slam in victory for the Clearwater Threshers. Man, oh man, is he having a season. The guy's just been hitting the tear off the baseball. I mean, he's just been unbelievable. The guy overall, month of May, great. .351 batting average that month. .344 in June. .269 in July. And now this month he's batting .444 in just 4 games. But my goodness, the guy is showing why he was a first round pick. This is a potential 5-tool type player, especially as he matures, especially as he grows older. Who knows? The guy could be here sooner than we think. 19 years of age right now. All right. That's where we're at. That's where we're at right now. Son of Carl Crawford. Got really good speed. I mean, I mentioned stolen bases, 38 this season. Guy's got a lot of speed. Guy's got a great glove as well. Great glove. Covers a lot of ground in center field. I know Rojas is out there. I know you have Brandon Marsh. We're looking ahead, people. We're looking ahead. He's still in single A. Still got some time to grow. Still got some time to develop. And I think the Phillies want to leave him down there for a little while to let him develop, okay? But got a great glove. Got a really good glove. Can cover a lot of ground for the Phillies. Has a lot of speed. Can steal bases. He's really hitting the ball well. Doesn't have a ton of power. He's not showing off the power. And the Phillies kind of knew that. You kind of knew that when they drafted him. Doesn't have a ton of power. But man, oh man, he's been hitting the baseball, and he's been hitting it well, making a lot of contact, has been consistent throughout this season. But, you know, I saw he hit a grand slam, and, you know, I had to let you know. I had to let you guys as the audience know that the guy is tearing it up down in single A Clearwater for all you that don't pay attention to the Clearwater Threshers, like my nerd self does. But that's going to do it for me right here on Philly's Full Count. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We'll see you next time right here.